ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case. I'm the host of the show and excited to be here today and excited that you're here with us. We are going to have a great show today. Dr. Greg Hammer here again as we talk about goals are great, but intention is everything. And this is going to be an interesting conversation. But before I get there, I want to start off by saying, if you are watching on wherever you're watching, if you're watching us on E360 TV, thank you for being a part of the network. And thank you for utilizing the network. It's a great network, and I'm happy to be part of it. If you happen to be watching on Facebook Live, thank you for being here. Please like and share the live video if you can. And on Facebook, if you go to the Adventures in Truth Facebook page, there you can interact with us live. If you happen to have questions or comments about what we're talking about today, we'd love to hear from you. You can also see us on YouTube Live and at adventuresintruth.com on my website. So with that little piece of business out of the way, let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. So I've talked about this before. You guys know I like to prepare to be prepared for what we're going to talk about in these shows. And one of the things that happened today is as I was preparing, one of the things I also like to do is when we're dealing with terms that are sort of universal terms, things that we all have sort of an agreed understanding of, I like to look them up and I like to see how they're defined according to Webster and according to Oxford and according to the mass consciousness about how we deal with this. So I looked up the definition of goal and I looked up the definition of intention. And interestingly enough, there wasn't a whole lot of difference in the definition. And I found that wildly disconcerting because I have such a vastly different experience of those two things. So we're going to have a great chance to talk about this today with Dr. Hammer. And I want to preface this by saying that for me, goals have always been weird. I've never quite understood them. I've always been challenged by them because I could never wrap my brain around the concept of a goal. Intention, on the other hand, is a completely different animal for me. Intention is something like I think I came in with in a way that I really just lived there. And as I was doing my meditation today, I was reflecting on a very seminal point in my life when I was just turned 16, I think, or somewhere around there. And I had, and I've shared this story before, but this was the day that I left my parents' home. And at 16 years old, I was a junior in high school. And I had been sneaking out because at that point in my life, I had discovered new parts of myself that I was exploring. But I was sneaking out of my parents' house and going out and having fun. And my mom discovered that I was sneaking out of the house. And so she got frustrated with it and decided to not only lock all the doors, but lock all the screen doors and everything so that when I got home, I would have to wake them up to get in the house. And the day that occurred, and I actually had a key, but I couldn't get in because everything was locked. And I remember standing there that night, it was probably about 1:30 in the morning. And I was standing outside of the house and it was my first experience of feeling into my world in a way that I was conscious of. Here I was standing at this seminal moment of my life. Do I knock and go through the process of whatever that was going to be, which wasn't going to be pleasant? Or was I done with that and did I want to move into something else? And as I stood there contemplating that at 1:30 in the morning, thinking to myself, what do I want to do here? And one of the decisions required me to walk 5 miles from my parents' house to get to somewhere, but I didn't know where I was going to end up. Excuse me. And in that moment, I decided to walk away. In that moment, as I felt into that experience and thought to myself, what am I doing? I said, I need to go. I need to go. And I did. Never went back. Ended up, you know, healing my relationship with my parents, and my dad has since passed. But the whole point of it is, it was a seminal moment of me in the process of intention. That for me, intention has always been about, if I want something, I'm going to realign or align myself to that thing and start moving toward it, however that looks. Some people call that goals. I don't see that way. And I'm hoping that our conversation today will kind of unravel that a little bit. So a little bit long-winded in the front end, because I wanted to kind of lay the groundwork for where we're going to go here. But we're going to be right back right after this, and we'll get kicked off here in just a second. So bear with me, and we'll be right back. All right, Fear is a Choice book. We'll keep these short today. www.fearisachoicebook.com. You can go there to order my book. I thank you to all of you who have ordered my book. Perfect time of the year to look at this as we move into the end of the year. I kind of have the same experience about resolution that I have with goals. I don't like them. So as opposed to focusing into resolutions, focus on changing your relationship with fear in the coming year. Make the decision that changing your relationship with fear is everything you want to do in your life. Because if you can make that choice will radically change everything in your life in a profound, positive, extraordinary way that you probably would never even imagine. But if you go to www.fearisachoicebook.com, you can learn more about the book. You can check out the reviews that are there, and all the links that you need are there. And I can tell you it's a very powerful book that will change your life. And I appreciate all of you out there who have ordered the book, who have reviewed the book, and who have shared the book. I appreciate you deeply, and I thank you for that. And now we were on to the next. We'll be right back. All right, the year of conscious creation. This year of conscious creation is almost over, guys. This 2021 year of conscious creation started at the beginning of this year, has been a profound, powerful movement. I appreciate all of you out there that have participated in this. If you haven't heard about it, I'm going to continue it. I'm not sure how the form is going to be as we go into the new year, but I find that this process is very powerful. My world is good. It's simple. It's direct. It's focused. Here we are, 7.5 billion unique worlds inhabiting one planet. And I say unique worlds because each of us is a unique world unto ourselves. No one can live my life for me, and I can't live your life for you. I can't change your life. I can't create your life, but I can create mine, and I do create mine. And as a result of that, I was thinking to myself when this started, I really wanted to create a movement, something, some way that I could contribute my energy to creating change in the world, in a world that I was feeling overwhelmed a little bit by what I was experiencing and what I was seeing. And so as a way of not buying into the storylines of all the various nonsense that's going on or all the confusion or all of whatever, I thought, let's focus into my world is good. Let's focus into the goodness. Let's build an energy each of us individually can focus in on. And that goodness is universal. It shows up differently for all of us, but the goodness itself is a universal experience. So if we build that energy together, then as we come together, we can create a tipping point in the consciousness on the planet that infiltrates, that sort of builds this goodness into the energy and changes some of the stuff that may not feel so good right now. But again, that's judgment. Some of that is just observing the process. But ultimately, I wanted to be able to have a positive impact. So that's what My World is Good is. 10 times when you wake in the morning, focusing yourself in appreciation. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. And then you do that 10 times at the end of your day. And then you can use it throughout the day to help with your alignment, to help maintain that alignment. So anytime you're moving through the day, if you're finding yourself feeling a little wonky or you're not feeling as secure or as stable as you were feeling, pull this into your experience. My world is good, and really feel into it and feel how everything starts to line up again and how you will come into a different alignment with yourself that you carry into the world that creates a whole new experience. So my world is good. Thank you for being a part of it. We're going to be right back after this to bring Dr. Greg on, and we'll see you on the other side. Be right back. All right, all right, all right. I am excited to have Dr. Greg back on the show today. Goals are great, but intention is everything. And let me give you a little introduction before I bring him in. Greg Hammer, MD, is a professor at Stanford University of Medicine, pediatric intensive care physician, pediatric anesthesiologist, mindfulness expert, and the author of Gain Without Pain, the Happiness Handbook for the Healthcare Professionals, which was published in May of 2020. He is a member of Stanford Wellness MD Initiative, and Dr. Hammer is currently the chair of the Physician Wellness Task Force for the California Society of Anesthesiologists. He has been a visiting professor and lecturer on wellness at institutions worldwide and teaches GAIN to medical students, residents, and fellows at Stanford. Dr. Hammer's clinical focus is in pediatric cardiac anesthesia and pediatric critical care medicine. His research is into the developmental pharmacology and immunology, and he has an active laboratory with multiple ongoing studies in these areas. He has published widely on topics related to pharmacology and perioperative care for children undergoing cardiac and thoracic procedures, as well as organ transplantation. Dr. Hammer is a health enthusiast and meditator utilizing a non-duality and mindfulness-based approach, including the GAIN method, which we'll get into here in just a little bit. And I am happy to welcome back to the show, Dr. Greg. How are you? Good to see you.
Jim, great to see you again.
Super to have you here. So I'm just going to land this right in your lap from the beginning. So you heard my intro. You heard, you know, where I kind of land in this process. And I kind of wanted to have, I really wanted to see where I was focused in this, because I didn't want to bring you here to just, you know, to kind of utilize what you already know. I wanted to kind of stretch us a little bit to see where does this go? Because I was really kind of floored when I looked at the definitions and said, holy crap, they say the same thing. No wonder people are as confused as hell about what to do with this stuff. And knowing my own, even now, all these years later, I still have the same attitude about goals that I had when I was a kid. I don't understand them. I never got them. I was trying to look for through my life for places where I actually set goals. And the only place I could remember was when I was in business, when I was in the restaurant business and in the hotel business for 30 years. There was every year we were making budgets and we were setting goals. And the thing that always irritated me about that is that I had to do it for the job, but I never liked it because it was all made up. You know, it's just, okay, randomly. Okay, this year we did this much. So let me see. I'm going to take my crystal ball and I'm going to say, okay, we're going to do this. And then putting that on all the people that I was responsible for, saying, hey, here's my imaginary number. Let's see you make that number. Oh, and by the way, your performance is gauged on that imaginary number. Sorry about it, you know? And so it kind of strikes me as odd. So I would love to hear your perspective, because we also come from very different backgrounds. And your background was probably very goal-driven initially. So I would love to hear more about that.
Question. I'd love to hear what you found out about those definitions. I don't know that I've actually looked them up, but
I actually kept them because I wasn't sure.
What did you see in the dictionary?
So in the dictionary, the definition for a goal, the object of a person's ambition or effort, an aim or desired result. The definition of intention, a thing intended, an aim or a plan. And they're mildly different, but they're really not a whole lot different. I mean, in the way they're defined, they don't give intention as much energy as they give goals.
Yes.
Interestingly enough.
I think there's a number of ways one can get at that important distinction. you know, I sense a negative inference with regard to the term goal. And I think to some extent, I agree with you. I think that, for example, somebody who is really wants to be a doctor, let's just take a very abstract case, and they're in high school and they want to do well in high school in order to get into a top university. And then they want to do well at university to get into a medical school. And they want to do well in medical school to get their first choice of residency and then fellowship. And then they're finished with their training. And this is what their goal is. And the issue with that is that sometimes when people establish goals, they're really living their life at arm's length. So goals are off on the horizon to some degree, right? So there's a certain deferred essence of being present there that's implied. And so, for example, that high school student who wants to be a doctor does everything they can to get into a top university and so on. And in the process, often they're not really living their life fully. They're not truly experiencing the only moment that we ever do actually experience, which is the present moment. Yeah. The past and the future really are just a collection of thoughts that come and go, like little, you know, lightning bugs in the summertime where I grew up. You know, you see a little streak and it appears to come and it lasts for a second or so, and then it appears to disappear. So living your life with goals can result in living your life at arm's length. And like that student, you're never really present. There's always, well, once I get there, things will be better. And then once I get there, after that, things will be better. And putting a somewhat more positive spin on it, I tell a story in the book, and I don't know whether I used this example last time we spoke, but you know, it's a beautiful Saturday afternoon. My goal is to take my bike out and pedal up to the top of the ridge that separates Stanford and Palo Alto from the Pacific Ocean. And from the top of that ridge, which is called Skyline Boulevard, you can sometimes see the ocean. So my goal is to get to the top of that ridge and gaze upon the Pacific Ocean. My intention, so we get to intention. Intention is your present experience of being in the moment and in a way rewiring your brain. So one of my real heroes in life is Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, who I think is the founder of mindfulness practice as we know it. And he defined mindfulness as awareness of the present moment on purpose, non-judgmentally. And there are a couple of the GAIN elements: gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment. Intention or purposefulness or purpose. So the fact is that our brains are wired in ways that tend to veil or even preclude our apparent happiness. And so I think, for example, we have a negativity bias. We tend to remember negative things and let go of positive things. Mm-hmm. So one little negative thing happens during our day, amidst many positive things. Before we go to sleep at night, we haven't done your exercise of my world is good. We often will think of that one little negative thing and focus on it, and it brings us down, you know, instead of all the positive things that happen during the day. So we all have that aspect, that negativity bias. And then we all have an obsession, I think, with the past and the future. Yeah. And we can talk more about that, but it's difficult for us to be present. When we're sinking into the present moment, our mind tends to kick us out of that experience into the past or the future. So we don't stay in the present for very long. So if you want to be in the present moment and you want to be more positive, you have to do so with purposefulness or intention. So it means that, in a way, every moment I'm exercising my intention to let go of this negativity bias and to let go of this fixation with something other than the present moment. And that takes intention or purposefulness. So that gives one an idea of what I think of intention. And in the context of that bike ride, my intention is to enjoy every moment of the ride, to even feel the lactic acid in my muscles and my legs, and feel that good kind of pain with each rotation of the pedals, and to enjoy the beautiful natural environs on my way up to that ride and experience the fresh air and so on. And that's my intention, is to be present, positive, and fully in the moment on my way to the top.
Yeah. So I guess, let me jump into a second, because I want to cycle through this because it stimulated a lot of good stuff for me. So the first is I was reminded when for a period of time when I was in San Diego, when I lived in San Diego, I was driving Lyft. And I was driving a lot of college kids around, and we would have lots of conversations. And, you know, of course, the conversations are, what are you studying and where are you at and what year are you in? And, you know, and I got to tell you, many, and I'm going to say a disproportionate amount of them really weren't sure why they were doing what they were doing. They had goals, but they had no substance. They had, oh, I got to get through college and I'm going to be an X, but there was no intention behind it. There was nothing but somebody else's version of what their life was supposed to be being played out by them in an attempt to figure out who they think they are, while they're going through wildly crazy periods of their life where their hormones are changing, their physiology is changing, and their intention is to survive. I'm laughing at that because I don't really mean that, but I mean, so there's that aspect of this that strikes me. Then as you were talking, and you were talking about the bike ride, and you were saying, I'm going to go up here. And you said, the goal is to get up there. And I thought, why would you make that a goal? You're already doing it. You're going to do it. You're going to get on the bike and you're going to ride there because you've determined that that's what you're going to do. And then, So I'm curious here. So goal versus desire. Why is it a goal instead of a desire? The desire stays with the internal process. And then through the internal process, you continue that through the things you described. I want to be connected to the bike. I want to feel the nature. I want to breathe the air. I want to see and experience each moment as I'm traveling through this. But it seems like when we go the goal route, it puts a thing on it to me. And the same with the kids. It puts this weird thing on it to me that I can't seem to put my finger on. Why go there? why limit the potential? Because to me, the goal is a limited perception that we create through our minds about where we think we should be or could be based on information that we've been given by typically lots of other people, significant people, teachers, parents, and so the goal is riddled with a whole lot of not me. Where the desire is all me. The desire is all coming through me. So, and I go back to that moment standing in my parents' house. I didn't have a goal. I had an intention to explore my life in a way that was not hampered by a particular construct that I was dealing with. Because I was at that age. I wanted to grow. I wanted to explore. I wanted to get out. But there was no goal attached to that necessarily. So, Can you talk about that a little bit? What are your thoughts about that? And you know, I'm not looking for diagnosis. I'm just looking for curiosity about the divergence of our thought process about the idea of a goal.
I think, you know, Jim, I think some of it is semantic. I think people think of maybe slightly different things when they think of goals. Mm. You know, to me, if you're a high school student and you want to be a doctor, you've got to do well as in high school, you've got to do well in university, you've got to do well in medical school, etc. And so there's a number of points of engagement there that you're looking forward to the next thing. And I think that's okay as long as one does it with a little bit of levity and recognition that it's each moment along the way to get there that is what really is important. In other words, there's no destination, there's only the journey. But I think
because once you get there, then what?
But I think for many of us to identify a destination with the caveat that I'm doing so with levity, I'm doing so with a little bit of a sense of humor, that in fact my intention is what's really important, and that is to be present every moment on my way through high school, university, medical school, residency, fellowship, et cetera. I think the problem with goals is that they sort of have a way of being made into a primary destination like enterprise. And so the one forgets, yes, I'm going to work really hard to achieve my goals. And one forgets sometimes to be present and live in one's current experience along the way. And when you ingrain those pathways in the brain of thinking that way, again, you're, as I said, we're obsessed with the past and the future, and it's hard to be present. Goals can represent an obsession with the future.
Yeah.
They can represent a distraction from the present moment, thinking that when I get there, I can finally be present because I will have made it. And the problem is our brains have these pathways that get well ingrained. As I said, you know, the negativity bias, this obsession with past and future, we feel that way because of, we're not born that way. We become right. that way because of the way we're programmed and our environments and input from others like our parents and teachers and so on as we're growing up. By the time we're adolescents and adults, that's the way our brain works because we've established those pathways and they become more and more carved in stone, if you will. They're carved in neurologic pathways. And so if you live your life at arm's length with this goal off in the distance all the time, you're reinforcing that way of thinking and being, where basically you become a person oriented toward the future and a person who has a difficult time being present. So in my bike ride example, I get to the top and the fog has rolled in. So I don't accomplish the goal of seeing the Pacific Ocean, but I'm happy. I've enjoyed the ride. I've lived each moment of it. I've felt the lactic acid in my legs. I've breathed the fresh air. I've appreciated the scenery. And that's how I think we should live our lives, where we may have a goal, but it's a bit soft. It's just something that reminds us to stay the course to some extent, but the emphasis is really on intention right now.
Yeah, and you know, as you were talking again, I was thinking about, okay, what if as a young person, so to split this a little bit, so the idea of the goals, I thought to myself, okay, have a goal, but make absolutely sure, take the time to make sure that that's sourcing from you and not from somebody else's version of who you think you're supposed to be. And that could change that then from, and I wonder is if that does at that moment change it from a goal somewhat to an intention, because it becomes an internal process. Beyond that, I was thinking about, I wrote it down here. What did I say here? Oh, so if the intention is, because I think initially, do you think, well, as I say, if my intention is to be a doctor, I want to be a doctor someday. Does that open up a pathway that says, I don't have to determine all of the nuts and bolts of this. I don't have to know my specialty. I don't have to know where I'm going to focus. What I want to do is be a healer. What I want to do is I want to be able to interact with people in a health field. And I have this energy that says this is something that I'm passionate about. So you set that as your intention. And then the goals to me seem like I can have fun with goals. If I'm setting goals for fun things, you know, for little things, I think that can be interesting, especially if you're with friends or you're, you know, stuff like that. But along the way of that trip from the decision, this is why I want to be a doctor, to the being the doctor, you set the goals to help keep you engaged, or do you set the goals because they are the thresholds you need to achieve in order to continue to move in this direction, to continue to move down this path of intention? Does that make sense?
I think both. Yeah, I think they're not mutually exclusive. I think they're both the case.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, the term goal should have a little asterisk or a little warning sign that is associated with a footnote that says, don't make some future apparent destination take over the way that your brain works, because that is a recipe for being distracted by the future and not being present.
Yeah. And, there was a formula. Do you remember the formula for the goal setting thing? Measurable, time bounded, specific. There's like four different specific things that you're supposed to have when you write a goal. And those parameters, while they're nice to setting this idea of a goal, really limit the outcome because they force you to not drive toward an experience, but to drive toward a pinpoint of that experience. So my intention is I want to be a healthcare professional. I want to be a doctor. That's a broad stroke that you can go a lot of different directions in because you're not Yes. limited to where you go there. But if you set a goal of being a doctor, then you're forcing yourself to narrow the field of what that looks like, I think, in that you're – so I'm not saying – again, I'm not trying to say goals are bad. I'm just trying to, in my own consciousness as part of what I do on this show, is saying, wow, there's some disconnect happening here that I want to understand more deeply, because goals have been around for a long time. You know, I mean, I haven't been around nearly as long as the concept of goals have been around. So, you know, it's something that is important apparently in the mass consciousness in all of our experience. But I want to make sure that as we talk about it, we're laying down some really fertile ground of pay attention to what you're attending to. Pay attention to how you go about your goal making or your intention setting, because it's really, really, really important to what you say, for the whole process of myelination, for the whole process of creating these new grooves in the brain, you know, for creating these new channels of how we do things that become more conscious, I think, when we become more conscious of how we do goals and intention, because now you're being present in the experience and not kind of haphazard in it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think the whole point is to, as Dr. Kabat-Zinn said again, be aware of the present moment on purpose with intention, non-judgmentally. And the on purpose or the intention is that our default brain mechanisms are not necessarily to our benefit. And right. They, in fact, include this negativity bias, this past-future obsession. And so if we want to be present, we want to be happy, we have to rewire the way our brains work, and that takes intention. And that is an ongoing process that occurs in the series of present moments. And that's the way we rewire our brain. And so we embrace those intentions and embrace a present-oriented way of being. Now, in the meantime, if it works for you to say, this is where I want to get, as long as it doesn't distract you from enjoying every moment on the path, and as long as you don't think that if you don't get there, all is lost,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there is no destination in reality. But does it sometimes help us or some of us to pretend there's a destination? I think so, as long as we put brackets around that term destination. It's not something real.
Yeah.
And that's really what a goal is. It's a destination.
As you talk about intention, I realize for myself there is a – I want to get the right words for this and I completely lost it, so I'll have to come back to it. I had it really good, and then I lost it. So we'll come back through it. But so creating it all through intention, kind of as we're talking about being conscious of the moment, I've completely lost the thread of where I was going with that. Bear with me here a second. Well, we'll shift gears, and I know it will come back because it usually always does.
You did. You know, you said something about goals often being suggested by others, by parents, teachers, etc. They've created this sort
or
of
influence. Ideal. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the case with everyone. I do think some people are thinking for themselves and being quite independent in their processes and arriving at what they consider to be goals themselves. And yes, of course, we want to listen to our own inner voice. mm-hmm. and our heart, and we don't want to be overly, you know, following someone else's directions. But even on our own and on our own initiative, sometimes people do develop goals, and sometimes they become overly fixated on them. And again, they're not living in the moment in that process. So,
I really like that you said that, because I think that's where, for me, the disconnect happens, is that everybody is doing their process the way they do their process. And we're in this, you know, this time and space reality that creates this, the things that you were talking about the, some of the negative bias, and some of those things are interesting, because they're sort of an effect of this being in this time and space reality, being in this dealing with it in a day-to-day basis in a more conscious way. So the it's right here and it's making me crazy. This, the intentionality for me on a personal level is about alignment. This is where I wanted to go with this. So I want to bring in this concept of alignment. I think, to me, and some of this comes through from some of the stuff that I've studied in the law of attraction and many of the things that I've looked at in all of my life. But this idea that my intention, if I want to be something, if I want to create something, if I want to have something, whatever it is, I find myself looking to, and I'm not using these words as linguistic stuff. This is literally how I have for my life have looked at things. And that is that once I decide it, I go about the business of getting my being in alignment with whatever that is that I'm looking for, whatever experience I'm looking for, whatever outcome I want to create. And what I mean by that is that I begin thinking to that outcome. I begin feeling into that outcome. I begin looking for inspiration for steps to go to that destination. I begin to do, maybe there's research involved, maybe there's, but for me, it's always an organic start. I don't come from the place of pushing or forcing things. I go from, here's an idea, here's a desire. Great, I'm going to sit in this desire. How does it feel? Does it cause my energy to lift, or does it cause my energy? Okay, I'm lifting. Good. I want to follow this. Where is this going? And so now I'm building this momentum of intention toward this thing that I want, and that everything in my life then becomes about what's not in alignment with that outcome. Mm. What's not in alignment right now today with me getting to that outcome, and allowing that to unfold as naturally as possible, because I don't believe we have to grind, and I don't believe it has to be hard. But I do believe that you have to put in the work, and I do believe that sometimes the work is challenging, you know, and the work is intense. And if you want it to be hard, it can be hard too. But that's the process to me. And so I want to talk about it from that perspective a little, because that is a very individual approach. And that's where I think the goal thing has always bothered me, is the goal thing is this box. Here's the goal thing. And we train people. You know, when you go into business, they train people in this goal process, setting goals and setting this. Here's the 4-step process. And it's sort of constantly reinforced. And the intentional process, I want to have everybody to understand that there is a uniqueness to that with each individual, that there are some sort of parameters that you can look at. But ultimately, this is a self-exploration. This is a process of unfolding what this being, who you are, what you want to share with the world, how you want to connect to the world, all of those kind of things. And I know I'm getting a bit more esoteric about it. But I'm curious to your thoughts about that as well, because we are talking a lot about being present in the moment and being, you know, that's where intention lives.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways to look at this. And when you talk about being in alignment, you know, you're obviously a very highly functioning, intuitive person who's very in tune with your own vibration and your own resonance. And so you can listen to that, and that allows you to have this general concept of alignment, because it, you know, you're acutely aware of how you can live in acceptance and lower your resistance to what is. And that is another way. That's what I think of it. When you say alignment, I'm thinking acceptance of what is.
I love what you actually said, which was release the resistance to what is.
Right. And that's the A in gain is acceptance. And, you know, there's a formula in the book, suffering equals pain times resistance. So pain is inevitable, right? It's part of life. We lose people we love. I lost my son. You know, the important element is how do we deal with that pain? Right. And I think that those who have reached a state of true wakefulness and enlightenment, whomever you think those individuals may be, Jesus, the Buddha, et cetera, they have fully accepted what is. And so looking at that suffering equals pain times intention formula, if the pain is there, I mean, there's Jesus on the cross, certainly a very painful circumstance, but if one lowers one's resistance, i.e. is in full acceptance, then if the resistance goes to zero, complete acceptance of the circumstance, there's no suffering. And if there's no suffering, there's peace. And that's all we want. We want peace and happiness. And I don't know who to attribute this to, but somebody clever said that happiness is peace in motion. Peace is happiness at rest. That's what we want, whether you call it peace
and rest
or happiness in motion.
Yeah.
And that comes in part through complete acceptance. And I think alignment might be another way of expressing that complete acceptance, because you're not resisting, you're not zigzagging to try to avoid or, you know, move toward or away from something. You're just relaxing into your current experience.
Yeah. And I love that clarification point.
Yeah. You know, so I think people think of the same kind of truth. The truth is ultimately very simple, but people have different ways of conceiving of it and describing it. And, you know, as it is with goals and intentions, I think sometimes people are describing what goals are differently than others. And so I think I am non-judgmental about the term goal. I think it in and of itself, a goal is neither good nor bad.
Right.
It really is in the context of the individual's construct as to whether it's something that is interfering with being present or not. And so if it's not interfering with being present and it's helpful as a guide,
why not? All tools in the toolbox. And I appreciate you saying that, because I don't know that I stated that even as I was kind of talking about it. I don't have judgment about goals and people having goals. I noticed I have this thing in me that says, goals. I know what they are. I know what they're for. But that's a very personal thing. So it's, and like you say, I think everybody has a very different experience, because I know people that I went to school with who were completely goal driven, you know, that lived their whole school life in that zone and did it well. You know, they understood what that meant to them. And regardless of how it was constructed, it was something they could get into, they could align with, they could lose the resistance to, because they could build those steps. And it was a way of building confidence, or it was a way of building self-assuredness. It's a way of building, you know, because if you set a goal and you achieve the goal, you've now achieved not only the thing, the outcome, but all of the things that you miss if you're not paying attention to the moment, which is all of the self-esteem building and the coming into one's own experience that can happen as a result of that, when you are connected to that experience, when you are, you know, without the resistance, but in that alignment process. I want to take a couple minutes, if it's okay, because we dove deep here and went for quite a bit in this. And I want to give you a few minutes, because I think your book is amazing, and I would love for you to talk with the people about the work that you're doing, if you would like to. Just for a moment, I was going to take a quick break and then come back and have a segment that you can chat with the people about your stuff. Is that all right? Good deal. So we'll be back. What's that?
Happy to do so.
Awesome. We'll be back right after this, guys. jumped out and didn't do anything with that. All right, I'm going to get out of the way here. And I have your website available. I'm going to step out. And I have your book up, so just holler when you want me to put it up. I'll throw it up for you.
Sure, anytime. Well, I what about my journey and my path? I got interested in burnout because this is a real threat to professional fulfillment in medicine. And Stanford convened a group called WellMD in acknowledgement of the importance of defining burnout and addressing it. And I think the organization has done a great job of just that. And I think we've achieved significant strides in reducing burnout within the medical center. Burnout is something that we all experience. We all have chronic stress. And while acute stress may be a benefit, it might help us with that burst of adrenaline that we get when we hear a splash in the water and there's a toddler sinking to the bottom of the pool, that epinephrine or adrenaline in our body goes up sharply. Our cortisol goes up, that raises our blood sugar. We're equipped then to jump in the pool quickly and rescue the toddler. And, you know, there's stories about people with acute stress even lifting cars off their, you know, child's leg or what have you. But acute stress may be adaptive, but chronic stress is maladaptive. Chronic stress occurs when that epinephrine and cortisol and other physiologic changes persist for days, weeks, months, or even longer. And so I think, especially during COVID, many of us have experienced chronic stress and leading to physical and emotional exhaustion, and that's called burnout. So I wrote this book really to try to contribute what I could to augment our personal resilience so that we could accommodate and right the ship, if you will, and mitigate that chronic stress by invoking mechanisms to reachieve a balance when we're thrown off balance by stress. And it just occurred to me that the four pillars of happiness and resilience are gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment, and hence the acronym GAME. I think we all know gratitude is central to happiness. You can be poor and happy. You can be physically challenged and happy, but you won't see somebody who's ungrateful and happy. So that just reminds us how important gratitude is. Acceptance, we talked a little bit about. Pain is inevitable. Hardship is inevitable. You know, I was just talking to a friend today. As we get in our fifth, sixth, seventh decades, we start to lose more and more of our friends and loved ones. And how do we cope with this among many other hardships in life? And we have to actually use intention to become more accepting, because our natural state is to resist. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. We want to pretend it's otherwise. But in that case, our suffering is actually increased. So it's important to be intentional about developing an acceptance practice. And intention is just exactly what we've been discussing. And non-judgment is also essential, because our minds are always comparing and judging. This is good, that is bad. And with our negativity bias and the degree to which we're so hard on ourselves, we're often comparing ourselves to others unfavorably. Well, that person's smarter than I am, or taller or better looking, or this or that. We can drop those judgments. We don't need to have them. So we close our eyes and get in touch with our breath, and picture one of those beautiful NASA images of the Earth suspended in space. The planet itself is neither good nor bad. And if we really buy into that and we believe it and embrace it, it's the truth, we can turn toward ourselves and come to the same conclusion. We are neither good nor bad. So we have this practice of gratitude, acceptance, intention, non-judgment in the form of a morning meditation, can be as little as 3 minutes. And then we bring these principles into our daily life increasingly over time, and baby steps and months of gained practice, we look back and we realize how far we've come. And we started off talking about goals and intentions, and the I in GAME for intention is critical. And it's all about being present, being happier, and letting go of the stress that apparently interferes with our ability to do so.
Love it. There it is again, Gain Without Pain, the Happiness Handbook for Healthcare Professionals. I recommend, what I have been able to read so far, I've loved. It's part of the reason that I invited you to the show, because diving into this, and I went, wow, I really want to talk with this guy, because we see things very similarly, but we come from such different places. And so that's why I love the opportunity to do this, is, to see that there's so many similarities in how we approach life, regardless of where you started and regardless of where you end up.
The truth is the truth for all of us, and it's elegant in its simplicity. And there's a lot of different ways to uncover it, coming from different backgrounds and way our brains work so differently from one another. But we get to the truth if we persist.
Keep going at it. www.greghammermd.com. You can go there to learn more about Greg and learn more about the work that he does. And I'm assuming there are links there as well, right? Links for the book.
Yes. Links to media, to the book, et cetera. So, perhaps our conversations will be on there, or perhaps one of them already is.
Ah, great. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's bring this home. We've had, I think, a really amazing conversation about this process of the goals are greater, but intention is everything. But I think we've even gone deeper in that. I'm hopeful that for those of you out there listening and watching, that you've been able to take away from this some of the, to me, the more important parts of recognizing that there may be universality in concept, but there isn't necessarily universality in experience, and that each of us has to be present in our own experience as much as we can be. I shouldn't say have to, but it would be the most desirable thing to find that space of presence in the moment, in your own experience, learning about your energy, learning about things like when you create a goal, be conscious of what's creating that goal. Is that goal coming from your heart? Is it coming from your desire? Or is it coming from the noise that you've listened to and the voices that you've heard? And it isn't that you can't incorporate both, but be conscious that that's what you're doing. And the same with your intention, the intentionality, being present in that we were talking about alignment earlier, is be present in that non-judgmental state so that you can be, similar to what I talk about with my book in Changing Your Relationship with Fear. When you crack that open and you're no longer living in a fear-based consciousness, you've now opened yourself up to potential opportunity that you didn't even know existed, because in the fear place, you're dumbed down in how you look at it. But I think that's also true in the unconscious place. You're equally as dumbed down to all of the potential and opportunity that you have, that you can, through intention, begin to tap into, that you can, through intention, begin to explore in ways that are magnificent and amazing and incredible, and that can offer and create a playground in a way that you get to explore your life and the experiences of your life rather than regiment them. And that, to me, is what I hope you all take from today. I would love to hear what you would love for people to take from this conversation today, in from your perspective.
I think that with regard to intentions, I would just reiterate that we all have brains that have evolved through our environment growing up, taken us to a place of negativity, of self-criticism and self-doubt, and obsession with the past, which brings, often related to our negativity, by a shame and regret. And obsession with the future, which brings fear and anxiety in many cases. The good news is we have this this property called neuroplasticity. We can change the way we think. But this is where intention comes in, because it doesn't just happen on its own. Left to our own devices as adults, we've obtained this negativity bias and this past and future obsession. So if we don't intentionally work to change the way our brains work, those are going to be what we're left with, and happiness is going to be diminished. So, let's remember that. Let's remember that we're all in this together. We all have these properties of the wiring of our brain, and we're all capable, through intention and focus on the present moment, to rewire the way we think and to be much happier. And so I love your message, Jim. And I think you and I are in our own different vocabularies talking yes. about the same thing.
Which I absolutely love. Tickles me to death. Because it just, I just know sitting here, the people that are hearing your voice and hearing your words that are responding to those and hearing my voice and hearing my words and responding. And it's just a magical thing to me that so many of us can come together in whatever, you know, in this context, but from our own perspectives and still arrive at very similar places in truth, as you say, which is what this is all about. It's the adventure in truth. So. I can't thank you enough. It's wonderful to see you again. I absolutely love this conversation. I appreciate you coming on the show. Guys out there, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation and you can look for us all over the place here as this will come out again as a podcast shortly. But thank you very much for being here, Dr. Hammer. It's great to see you and wishing you a very happy holiday season and look forward to seeing you again. Everybody out there, have a wonderful day and we will see you all again next time on Adventures in Truth. Oh, got to push my buttons. Here we go. Bye, guys. Here we go. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.